This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Azerbaijan, once a Soviet client state, Azerbaijan, rich in natural resources, fossil fuel in particular, a vast canvas that is now part of the Ukraine conflict. How? Within these last hours, reportedly, Armenia, that fought a short, sharp battle with Azerbaijan in late 2020 over Nagorno-Karabakh, a piece of Azerbaijan that was occupied by Armenia for decades. That sharp, sharp battle led to peacekeepers and a truce and the recovery of Nagorno-Karabakh. However, now we learn that Armenia has sent warplanes, Sukhoi 30s, and pilots to participate in the attack on Ukraine. It's a report, fog of war. There are, in fact, Russian bases in Armenia. The Russians offer themselves as peacekeepers in Nagorno-Karabakh. At the same time, a report confirmed that Russia's Caspian Sea fleet fired a hypersonic missile into Ukraine during the conflict. I welcome Dr. Brenda Schaefer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Brenda, a very good evening to you. You've traveled often these last years, where the last time I was in Azerbaijan was right after the conflict in December of 2020. These events, the possibility that these Sukhois are now bombing Ukrainians, a former client state of the Soviet Union, and using warships in the Caspian Sea to fire over the South Caucasus into Ukraine. Is that an alarm bell in Baku? Is that business as usual? Is that none of our business? How is it viewed? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. First thing, these reports about the Armenian Sukhois and pilots, going to fight in Ukraine. On one hand, they're not verified reports, and the Ministry of Defense of Armenia has denied them. On the other hand, Armenia does have military troops fighting together alongside Russia in Syria, deployed in Syria. So it's quite, plausible. The Russians often ask Armenians, forces to come in to make their contingency more multinational and not just Russian. But certainly, the same way we look at Belarus as, as a country that's supporting Russia's military operations, the U.S. needs to start looking at Armenia's operations in the same way. It's kind of ironic. Some of the members of the U.S. Congress that are the most vigilant anti-Russian and, taking steps against Russia are actually some of the same, members of Congress, like, Senator Menendez from New Jersey, that are, the biggest supporters of Armenia, which has, as you mentioned, John, two Russian military bases in Armenia itself. Russia controls Armenia's airspace and its air defense, and also, again, these contingents of Armenian forces, fighting alongside Russia.
The confirmation, however, is about the Caspian Sea flotilla firing a hypersonic missile. Does that alarm Baku that Russia is ready to use its warships in the Caspian Sea against its adversaries?
I'm not sure this, is something new. And it also, Russia has also fired missiles into Syria from the Caspian flotilla. And I agree that this is significant because it's a political statement. They could fire missiles into Ukraine and into Syria from, other locations. They choose to do it from the Caspian. It's, sort of a sense of dominance. It's probably just as worrisome to Iran, actually, as it is to Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, and the other Sia butters. But certainly it's a political statement from the Russians, about their desire for dominance in the Caspian region.
One more item that appears to connect the South Caucasus to the Ukraine tragedy. This is from Lviv, Ukraine. Fog of war. Everything needs to be reconfirmed. It's Euronews reporting. Ukrainian President Zelensky said within these last days that he had spoken to Azerbaijan's President Aliyev, and thanked him for offering fuel for Ukraine's crop sowing campaign. This isn't the first time I've seen humanitarian aid offered by Azerbaijan to Ukraine. So what is the opinion in Baku of this move by Russia against a former Soviet client? Does that suggest to Baku that Georgia and Azerbaijan could also be included in that target zone someday?
Right. You know, it's a very perilous situation for all the countries bordering Russia right now. It's both an opportunity and a challenge. So as you pointed out, you know, from the beginning of the war, Azerbaijan's, for instance, they have a string of their national oil company has a string of gas stations, filling stations in Ukraine, and they've been offering gasoline for free to emergency vehicles and, you know, and hospitals and other emergency vehicles since the beginning of the conflict and other humanitarian aid. Now, this fuel for beginning the growing season is critical. Because if Ukraine doesn't start sowing its fields soon, not only will this be a disaster for Ukraine itself, but really for millions of people that import grains produced in Ukraine. So this fertilizer fuel that's being offered for the growing season is very important. But I think it also is, you're raising a bigger question. So. The current Ukraine crisis, it exposes how Russia, you know, takes territory of neighboring countries in an attempt to control them and determine their politics. But it's not the first time. You know, it started with the Soviet breakup. Moscow kept forces in Transnistria and Moldova, took two regions of Georgia. Its proxy, Armenia, invaded Azerbaijan, took 20% of Azerbaijan's territory, kicked a million people out of their homes. Then we have, you know, Crimea, 2014, you know, another chunk taken from Ukraine. So Russia has used, you know, it's not ethnic conflict, but it's used occupations as a tool to coerce a variety of countries around its borders. And we saw, for instance, during the 2020 Armenia-Azerbaijan war, which you were also a witness to, you know, Ukraine siding with Azerbaijan because they understand that, you know, Armenia is a Russian proxy and that, you know, they're basically all in the same boat. In a certain extent here, you're seeing Azerbaijan as well, you know, on one hand, trying to support Ukraine as much as possible, and understanding they're all in the same boat. On the other hand, knowing the dangers of having, you know, they still unfortunately have Russian forces deployed, you know, in their territory. And there's also a big danger of escalation in the South Caucasus.
Azerbaijan is a hub of energy security. And right now, that means it's sending oil to Turkey, to the tankers in the Mediterranean, and natural gas all across the Southern Gas Pipeline to Europe. Now, the European Union has sent representatives over these last months to see if there's more that can be done. My understanding is that Azerbaijan at this point has maxed out to the infrastructure that exists. To your knowledge, and we have about a minute, are there plans under discussion for more investment to supplement what the Europeans will need if and when they are cut off from Russian gas, natural gas?
Right. So, you know, Europe has two major problems in its energy security, even before this crisis, but accelerated by the current crisis. It's one, to have the gas supplies arrive, so security of supply, but also security of price. Basically, gas through liquefied natural gas, through LNG, even if you could get all the volumes in to replace Russian supplies, which you can't, but you could not continue European manufacturing, especially big manufacturers like Germany, on the basis of, you know, LNG-type prices.
We have 30 seconds, Brenda. Go ahead.
So definitely Europe is going to have to look now for more long-term, not only gas supplies, but pipeline gas supplies, since they're much cheaper. And that's going to mean, yes, more gas from the Caspian Southern Gas Corridor, more gas from Azerbaijan, more gas from by pipeline from Norway, maybe even East Med from Israel, Cyprus via Turkey. Europe is looking for, and it's going to need more pipeline gas.
Brenda Schaefer, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.